Welcome to Caldwell University Conversations. I'm Colette Liddy. Let's make music during a pandemic. That's not so easy, but my guests say that with innovation, ingenuity, and a lot of hard work, it can be done. I'm happy to welcome Dr. Laura Greenwald, Chair of Caldwell University's Music Department, Professor Rebecca Vega, Associate Professor of Music at Caldwell, and Amanda DeForn, a Senior Music Education Major at Caldwell. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, music and the arts have been hit by a tsunami. I'm thinking of that saying, life gives you lemons, make lemonade, but this has certainly been a little bigger than a lemon. So let's talk about how you've adjusted in teaching music education, Dr. Greenwald and Professor Vega. We'll start with you, Dr. Greenwald, a little bit about your background. You direct the chorale, you're director of vocal activities, you're director of the opera workshop. You also are a talented singer soloist. You've performed in concerts and recitals around the country, as well as in Salzburg, Austria, and Spoleto, Italy. So how have you adjusted during this semester in your teaching?
Thank you, Colette. The biggest change for all musicians and directors of ensembles is that our focus is normally on preparing performances and getting the students, getting the music prepared so that we can perform a big concert at the end. And no one is performing live concerts now. So we had to think about what can we do to give the students a sense of normalcy. What projects can we do to teach about the music that we might sing? So for the chorale, we normally perform for several masses a year, and we love to sing a piece called the Dominican Magnificat. And so I had the students do a project. I reached out to several of the Sisters of St. Dominic and had students interview them and come back and share their interview with the chorale in any way that they like to. So some of them drew a picture, some did a PowerPoint. There were a variety of ways that they presented their interview to us. We also did a little bit about social justice. I've always wanted to sing the piece, Lift Every Voice and Sing. And after the civil unrest this summer, I thought this is the year that we are going to learn this song and sing it and learn the background about it. And we recorded it outside. We've been singing outside, socially distanced, wearing masks so that we would be safe. So those are a couple of the things that I did with the chorale.
So you really dug and you connected the music to the sisters and the mission, to the issues that are going on around our country now. So in many ways, they're learning history throughout their music classes also.
That is my hope. And there's one, I'd like to just share one other example. The opera workshop, we don't have an opera, we can't go out and perform. So we took some Mozart arias and some Schubert songs, and the students are writing a libretto about how they feel about living in a pandemic. So they set words to Mozart and Schubert songs and arias that they might have been studying anyway, but they're creating the opera. And we have a 20-minute little bit of a piece that we'll be recording to share with their families.
Oh, beautiful. That is beautiful. Professor Vega, you teach flute and music education. You are also a professional. You play the flute. You're a member of Uptown Flutes and Terzetta, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yes.
And you have several responsibilities at Caldwell. You direct the wind and flute ensembles and the marching band. So please tell me if I'm missing anything. But what are you doing differently as you teach this semester?
Well, I spent a lot of time this summer really trying to understand some of the scientific facts that were coming out about playing instruments and trying to figure out what would be the safest way for my students to still be able to play music. Because one of the things I know my students missed last spring was not getting to play together, because it's so difficult when you're doing Google Meets and Zoom meetings. So I did a lot of research. My My mom helped make masks for the marching band so that they had flaps on them so that when we were practicing marching, they were safe, and when they were blowing, they were safe. And then I also bought special material that was recommended to make bell covers for all the brass and alto saxophones and clarinets. So I did a lot of research in that kind of area just to help my students be safe. Marching band is one of the safest ensembles to have because we naturally already are at least 6 feet apart. So we designed our show that the students would always be at least at a four-step interval, so at least six feet. So we have been able to have marching band, and we have 10 new members in the group, 10 freshmen. And for some of them, this is the only class they come on campus. And that's really important because it's a place for them to connect with other students and to get that opportunity. And then when we have had to have rehearsals inside, we've been able to find spaces where we can still keep that 6 feet distance. And then with the wind ensemble, thankfully, I was able to have the student center gym. So again, we started off at 12 feet apart, and the science really shows that it doesn't need to be quite 12 feet apart. 6 feet is really safe enough. And so we've been learning some new music that we might play in the spring, depending. But we've been looking at other ways to look at music, and again, looking at the meaning behind music. And so I've been asking a lot of why questions. That's been my focus for my indoor ensemble, wind ensemble.
Wow, that's fantastic. And your mom is great, too,
Thanks.
For making them. So, Amanda, you are the member of the marching band, and I had a wonderful time a couple of weeks ago on Friday night. There was a halftime performance, right? But it was outside in a parking lot. There's no football, so you're not playing at the games. But how did that feel for you to be able to perform with friends and family there?
For me, as the drum major, it wasn't so much that I was performing, but that I was watching the people that I've been trying to help work through this pandemic and everything, make a performance for them and their family as well. It felt very different not performing for a halftime football game, because you expect people in stands and watching you and applauding you. And we had people with like lawn chairs sitting out, watching us still performing and clapping and applauding for all we did. So it was definitely an odd situation, but I was so happy that so many people came out to support us.
And Professor Vega talked about that there are 10 new freshmen. So this must be something very nice for them to be able to be with you and the other students.
Yeah, I think so. Because like Professor Vega said, it gives them the opportunity to come on campus if they have no other reason or other class to. And I've seen such a bond between all of the freshmen together, and they're all kind of developing nice friendships with as well. So it's really nice to see, because this could be the only social interaction that they have throughout this semester. So I think that's really important as well.
Good point. Now, you said you're a drum major, but you also play the flute, am I correct? What's it like to play with a mask on?
It works. Not great, but it works. For me, it's very challenging with my pitch of the flute. I either go sharp or I go flat, so for me, it's a struggle. The air is still coming out. We have two slits on either side of the mask for the flute to go in, for the head joint to go in, and then we just play like normal. But it's a struggle, I think, because I feel like I'm not, I can't breathe in enough to get enough air out. And like I said before, my pitch tends to go either sharp or flat. So, and as a flutist, it's really complicated, because for me, I can hear when I don't sound good. And then when I perform and I hear it, it makes me upset. And I know a lot of other people, regardless of their instrument, are having the same issue as well.
Professor Vega, since you are a flutist, have you mastered this yet?
No, I'm still working on that. I performed with a student this past week for one of our for the other students, and it's definitely a challenge. I definitely don't have the air support that just like Amanda was saying, it's really hard to have a mask on, but it's safer. I was still 12 feet away from the student, but we want to keep the safety issue. But if we have the opportunity to be in the same room and play, it makes a difference. And it's there's something about music that we all connect with, and that's why we all want to be together to make the music. So the number one rule is safety, and as long as we're being safe and following the protocols, then even though it's a struggle to play with a mask, it's worth it because at least we get to make music together.
You're making it work. That's wonderful. So you hit on something here about the arts are really something. I know we've talked about this, Dr. Greenwald. The arts are something that unify people. Maybe we think differently about politics. Maybe we think differently about issues. But the arts are something that are important, especially in a time of isolation or loss. Can you speak to that?
Yes, because cultures express themselves through all kinds of arts, visual arts and musical arts. And this is how we learn. This is how we learn about cultures, about how things were historically. And in the present time, this is how we express our emotions. When we're sad, we sing sad songs. If we're happy, we sing happy songs. And if we're working with ensembles, we have to learn our own part. But then we really make music by working with the people around us. We work together to achieve a common goal. And it's that interaction. We're all kind of, we're a bit isolated now because we need to stay separate to stay safe. But the arts, the ensemble arts allow us to work together, and we want to do that in any way that we can.
Now, how about the social emotional learning part of it?
Social emotional learning, it's a really hot topic these days. And what it is it refers to a way to learn to understand and manage our emotions and to feel and show empathy for other people. So as I was teaching, for example, today I teach voice lessons online, and I always say to my singers, well, the dynamics for instrumentalists indicate how loud or soft you play, but for a singer, we're singing words. We have to think about what emotion we want to express, convey the dynamic that the composer has indicated. So we're not just singing words, we're expressing emotions, and we have to try to relate to the emotions that we think the composer wants us to. And when this is a group, an ensemble, we have to come to some kind of similar conclusion as to the emotion we want to express for something.
How you're performing, you're performing.
Right.
Interesting. Now, we're also talking here about some of the other things that you are doing. This weekend, you're scheduled, Professor Vega, to celebrate the birthday of a 100-year-old woman.
Yes. We've been, her daughter is doing a surprise parade for her in North Caldwell, and she's asked the North Caldwell Fire Department and Police Department and several friends. I think she said up to 50 cars could arrive. So she asked if part of the marching band could come out and play Happy Birthday and anything else we want to play. So I have about 18 students that are available, and so we are going to meet at an elementary school, march up the street to some drum music, and the 100-year-old is supposed to be in her daughter's car, and she thinks that just three friends are going to drive by and, you know, wave out the window. She has absolutely no idea that there's going to be all kinds of other things. So we're super excited. One of my staff members wrote out an arrangement of Happy Birthday, so we're going to practice that today, and then we're just going to play a couple fun tunes in the school fight song and, you know, wish her a happy birthday. I thought I might get party hats for the kids or something, just so that they look like they're really into the spirit of her birthday as well.
Will you be there, Amanda?
Yes, I will be there. I'm very excited to do something other than a parking lot performance or just a practice. I think this is going to be very good for all of us.
Yes, and it's probably the first 100-year-old birthday party you've ever been to, right?
Yes, definitely.
So, Professor Vega, so you're not performing this semester. So what else are you doing within your classroom in terms of teaching?
Right. So the marching band is performing a couple little things, but the wind ensemble, because we're indoors, what I decided to do was really focus on the why of music. So looking at that social connection, emotional connection that students make with with music. And I've always been a person that kind of gives a background if there is a background on the piece, but I haven't really delved into that. So this semester, when I was looking at pieces to work on, not to perform, I picked pieces that had themes. So we have a local composer who wrote, his family's from Lebanon, and in 2006 there was a big bombing, and he had friends and family that were affected by this, and so he wrote a piece called Prayer. So this summer there was another bombing in Lebanon, so it was just I had picked the piece in May, but who knew this was going to happen. But I contacted him and asked him if he would come and speak to the class. So he actually came out and spoke to the class and told them about it and about this composition process and how he also has been learning to deal with things. He does a lot of arranging for musical theater in New York. Well, that's not happening this year.
Right.
So he just gave a perspective, but he also really, I think, helped the students understand the meaning behind the piece. And then we're also playing a piece called Remember that is, it was written by a woman composer who lives in New England. And when her grandfather passed away, this melody came to her. And she just wrote this very lovely, beautiful piece. Amanda actually has the solo at the very beginning. And it's just this beautiful, almost Irish lilt, but it's very uplifting. It was in remembrance of her father. And then we're looking at a really difficult piece called Quest for Peace that is in honor of Adlai Stevenson and all the work he did in the 1960s trying to create peace between America and Russia. And being that this was an election year and a lot of American tension, I thought, well, we can have a little bit, I'm not going to go crazy into politics, but we could at least talk about the fact that this is not new, that there's always been how do we find peace in the world. So and then I asked the students to choose one or two questions of their why behind music. So several students, because we can't perform, they are either giving a PowerPoint. One art student created a poster, a graphic arts poster. Another student wrote, a couple students have written papers. And then they share that information, and there's 12 different questions. So we're getting all kinds of, I just wanted the students to think about why. Why do you like music? Why do you listen to this when you're happy, and why do you listen to this when you're sad? And the students are finding out they're not always the same. It's like, oh, you listen to that? Oh, I would listen to this. But it's created some discussions that we wouldn't have normally had time to do.
So, oh, that's wonderful. It's timely, and it's bringing people together, like you said, for discussions. So, Amanda, what are your why questions? What were your why questions?
Well, the first one was, what type of music do you listen to when you're doing an activity? So I picked exercising. I like to listen to, like, classic rock or heavy metal when I'm exercising, because usually it's upbeat, there's a lot of drum, a lot of guitar, so it gets me motivated to exercise.
Sure.
My second one was literally the question, why music? Like, why is music in your life? Why are you pursuing music through a higher education and so on? So for me, that was a deep question, because obviously as a music ed major, I had to start thinking, like, why am I doing this? What has it benefiting me? Is it going to benefit other people? And the answer is obviously yes, because I've had such a deep connection to music since I was like 3 or 4. I've always been listening to music constantly. And then in middle school, I played the clarinet, and then I switched to flute. In high school, my sister was in marching band, and I didn't want to do it originally. And then I did it for a year because my mom told me to try it, and I ended up loving it. And I did that for the 4 years of my high school career. And now I'm here, drum major of the Caldwell University marching band. I am a music education major playing the flute, and without music, I don't know what I would be doing here.
You answered the why. How about the what? What is it that you plan to do after graduation?
So my plan in roughly a year is to hopefully get a teaching job at a high school and become a music director there while teaching the marching band if they have one. That's my ultimate end goal. But I will take any teaching job that I can possibly get, because that's what I'm here for. I want to teach people the love for music that I have and give that to them as well, so they can also love music just the same as I do.
Well, you certainly have wonderful mentors from your teachers, your professors here.
Definitely.
At Caldwell University. I can see that in the music department. So final question for all three of you is, are there any silver linings out of this? Anything at all? Dr. Greenwald, we'll start with you.
I think that, I don't know if it's a silver lining, but I've always identified as being technologically challenged, and I have had to adapt and use more technology in the last 6 months than I feel like I've used in my entire life. And I have to keep adapting and using it. But keeping the focus on the students and using the technology as a means to teach and to connect with the students, that's my main goal. I'm not getting caught up in the tech. I'm using the tech as a means to connect with the students and to help them to make and create music.
It's the human under the technology. That's what I'm hearing. How about you, Professor Vega?
I would say, because especially in the fall, there's 3 or 4 football games, there's a pep rally, there's open houses. We're always like, okay, we got to learn this music. And it's a very frantic experience.
Sure.
And so having this opportunity to say, you know what, we're going to learn a show and maybe somebody will watch it, maybe somebody won't watch it, but we're going to learn it because it's fun. I mean, we did a spy show. I mean, what's more fun than a spy show, and who's going to steal the golden egg? So that was really fun. And I think because I've been asking the students why in music with the wind ensemble, it's made me stop and think, why music? You know, why do I do this? I mean, I always have said to my music ed majors, you need to know why you're doing it. But I mean, and I've always said music's my way to connect to other people. But now I'm really like having like, wow, I really am connecting, but we can't always just make the music. We have to do other things with it. And really looking at, you know, these different composers and watching videos on how music affects the brain, and just like we're looking at the why so much that it's just super exciting that it's like, wow, I'm really glad I chose this career.
Oh, that's wonderful. Amanda, how about you? Is there a silver lining?
There's a silver lining. So as a music education major, I have to do observation. So I've been observing someone who teaches elementary, and I've been watching her teach her lessons. And I know for probably like college and higher education, it's a little bit more difficult because we are more advanced. But these students are just picking up an instrument for the first time. And because of technology and the virtual learning, there's more individual learning, so a teacher can focus on one student while everyone else is muted, instead of them being all in the same room and having to play all together, mess up. You can't really focus on one student because then they're all playing in the background. But the other thing that virtual learning does is that she can put things onto the Google Classroom that can benefit them. So how do I clean my instrument? How do I put valve oil on my valves? And I feel like that a lot of that stuff you can't always teach in person, because when you're an elementary or like middle school teacher, usually you're swamped with all the students coming up to you saying, this is broke, this isn't working, this and that. But now they have to do it alone, which is giving them some independence, and they're learning by themselves, but it's not like they still can't come to you, email you, ask you questions. So I feel like that's a big silver lining.
Very good. Very good. Well, I want to thank you all for joining me. You've been wonderful guests.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our guests have been Dr. Laura Greenwald and Professor Rebecca Vega of the Caldwell University Music Department, and music student Amanda DeForn. Also, my thanks to student Paul Iwarat for his production assistance. I'm Colette Liddy. Join us next time for Caldwell University Conversations.